glad to be joined by the UNHCR Deputy Representative in South Sudan, Vincent Kwesi Paka, joins us in the studio. Vincent, good morning and good to have you on Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning.
Yes, you have heard first from those refugees, and as the Deputy Representative of UNHCR in South Sudan, what would you like to say on that? How do you react to those voices?
The voices that we've heard this morning are a clear testimony of the nature of our work and the impact of our work on refugees and internally displaced persons. The two testimonies clearly point to the fact that safety for those who have run from their countries of origin is extremely vital to their development. The first refugee made it very clear that she was able to find safety with UNHCR, and along with that safety, she was able to pursue opportunities, education, hope, aspiration, confidence, and a wide range of other things that brought her into, I think, what she termed as globalization.
Yes.
It gave her the hope and the confidence to pursue her own aspiration in life. The second refugee also pointed out that through the beads and the necklaces and the, making ID holders and what have you, calabashes, she was able to essentially pursue income-generating activities that then gave her the opportunity to buy food, to buy books, to buy shoes, and to maintain a livelihood of her own and to take charge of her own destiny. And that's primarily what UNHCR aims for.
Yes, let's go back a little bit now. When was the United Nations High Commission for Refugee founded, and what was the idea behind its formation?
UNHCR was founded in 1949, and the idea was very simple. When people are caught in conflict and persecution that causes them to flee to other countries for refuge, the reality is that they need assistance. Until the very causes that triggered their departure and flight are removed, they obviously cannot return to the places of persecution. And so our mandate, as it came out during that time, was primarily to provide them with assistance in the country of asylum until such a time that they could return to their original countries of origin. Now, in instances where that was not immediately possible, or where the countries of asylum could not continue to maintain them, we would then look at other opportunities, such as resettlement to a third country. And this has been primarily our mandate over the years.
Yes, and in South Sudan particularly, what activities is the UNHCR engaged in at the moment?
Excellent. I think that's a beautiful question. UNHCR has currently some 279,000 refugees in this country, and we are sincerely grateful for the open door policy of the government of South Sudan, because recognizing the enormous challenges in this country and the fact that the government of this country is able to open its doors to refugees coming from outside is in itself quite a commendable act. But here we have 279,000 refugees, predominantly from Sudan. In fact, 92% of them are from Sudan proper, followed by a few from Ethiopia and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And they are located in 21 refugee camp settlements and locations. We have 12 offices across South Sudan with over 400 international and national staff. And we work very closely with the government of South Sudan, particularly the Commission for Refugee Affairs, which is our government counterpart. But in terms of the specific areas and sectors of assistance, we are very much interested in providing livelihood activities in the camps. We are into all the sectors: water, sanitation, health, community services, education. And remember that in all these areas where we operate, the nature of our assistance is not entirely confined to only the refugees. Mm-hmm. We also provide assistance to the refugee hosting communities. And here, this year in particular, from 2015 to date, we've been able to reach 65,000 host communities and some 200,000 internally displaced individuals, you know, that we deal with. So we're also very much interested in agricultural activities, livelihood, capacity building, just as you heard from the two ladies, refugee ladies who gave their testimonies.
Vincent, isn't it confusing? I mean, South Sudanese is hosting refugees, and we have over 2 million South Sudanese who are as well refugees in the neighboring countries. How do you explain that?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting paradox. Mm-hmm. Interesting in the sense that you remember when South Sudanese were fighting for their independence, UNHCR was with them in the countries where they were seeking refuge. Mm-hmm. I recall myself several years ago, essentially from 1984 up until 1990. Yeah, 1984 to 1990, I was associated with the operation in Ethiopia. And in those days, we had South Sudanese who were living in Gambela, mm-hmm. in Etan, in Funido, in Asosa. But remember that even in the early 80s, when Ethiopia itself had refugees in other countries, Ethiopia was fighting, you know, having going through a political period of uncertainty. They were still providing asylum to South Sudanese refugees. Similarly, South Sudanese refugees currently are in Ethiopia. They are in Uganda, even though, you know, the situation here itself is not is going through a bit of difficulty. So the culture of providing refuge to refugees when your own citizens and nationals have fled to other neighboring countries is a very common phenomenon. But I think it also demonstrates our you know, the African hospitality of nations all extending a hand to those who are less fortunate and find themselves in a, you know, very serious predicament.
Great. Now, what do you think has been UNHCR's strongest contribution to the refugee situation in South Sudan? What will you point out that this has been our biggest achievement in South Sudan?
I think that when it comes to achievement, you basically have to look at it from different perspectives. I think to understand the value of our greatest achievement, you have to ask the question, if UNHCR was not present, what would have happened to all these people? 279,000 refugees. Mm-hmm. And given the current state of affairs in South Sudan, you know, the conflict and what have you, I think the obvious conclusion is that it would have been a greater burden for the South Sudan, Republic of South Sudan. So together with South Sudan, we've been able to maintain and sustain lives. We've been able, of course, we give these people shelter. But remember, we don't do these things unilaterally. Mm-hmm. We work with a wide range of other UN agencies, including the World Food Program, Food and Agricultural Organization. We just celebrated a couple of days ago the World Food Day. Mm-hmm. And refugees at Nyakoron Center were giving testimonies of the productive agricultural initiatives that they have embarked on. Some of them are able to produce crops. They are able to sell them. They are able to utilize the resources that come from the crop production to take care of their families. And so the point I'm making is that you frankly cannot put a figure on the value of our contribution, mm-hmm. to these individuals.
Well, as UNHCR Deputy Representative in South Sudan, is there anything in particular that stands out for you regarding the work of the UNHCRs in South Sudan?
Our work with the government of South Sudan is definitely a plus. I will tell you that our continuing work with the Commission for Refugee Affairs in developing and adopting a number of legislative amendments and legal acts that further consolidate the rights of refugees and asylum seekers is of particular relevance. I think it's also important to point out that we continue to advocate for the accession of South Sudan to the 1951 Convention on Refugees, as well as the Kampala Convention on IDPs.
Mm-hmm.
These are extremely important documents and legislations that would help us to do more. We are planning a workshop roundtable for some 30 parliamentarians to discuss what we call the accession to the 1951 Convention. And this session will help parliamentarians to understand this important international instrument, which will then pave the way for South Sudan joining the family of countries that have acceded to the convention. Other important initiatives that I think I need to highlight here is that UNHCR is implementing extensive capacity building initiatives for the government of South Sudan, particularly when it comes to those efforts aimed at the reduction of statelessness. Only 10% of the population in South Sudan have national identification documents.
Mm-hmm.
And here, it is important that we are going to be working in cooperation with the Directorate of Nationality, I believe Population and Immigration,
mm-hmm.
to help identify those who are in a state of statelessness. These are persons who are essentially invisible, and no country bears any obligation towards them. And therefore, their basic rights, such as access to health, education, justice, are often violated or completely ignored. So the idea is to work with the government in cooperation with DNPI to help more than 10,000 individuals who are at risk of statelessness to obtain nationality certificates and to be able to live a life that is fulfilling. So these are some of the initiatives we are looking at to strengthen our capacity to do more for the people under our mandate.
All right. Just before we conclude this interview, Vincent, you did mention you've been involved with UNHCR since 1985. And I believe in some of these countries, maybe post-conflict countries or in conflict situation, what kept you going? I mean, waking up every morning trying to go and work for these refugees for all this long in maybe not comfortable situation, but what kept you going, working, and with the UNHCR up to now?
Okay. Let me correct something here. Yes, I've been associated with refugee work for some 35 years, but with UNHCR in particular, mm-hmm. I've been in UNHCR for the past 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
What keeps me going is the resilience and the capacity of the refugees and the people in need determined to find solutions for their own predicament. We in UNHCR do not work simply as a job.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's a mission. For us, it's a passion. It's a commitment beyond description. Because when you come into contact with people who have lost essentially everything in life, but can manage to sit under a tree and celebrate their culture, even in countries of asylum, with joy and gladness. And you would agree with me, if you look at the profile of various refugee camps,
mm-hmm.
Including the situation in Syria, in Iraq, in Somalia, in Ethiopia, in South Sudan, in Uganda, in Tanzania, with the Congolese, the Rwandese, you always look at individuals, children, dancing, celebrating, rejoicing. Essentially, as if nothing has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what gives us the impetus and the commitment to be a part of the search for solutions.
What is your message as we celebrate?
The message is very simple. Continue doing what you've been doing for the many, many years that have gone by, and continue getting better at doing it and reaching more people and relieving people of the burden of difficulties and the hardships and the persecution. In other words, focus on the search for solutions.